All right, let's go to the Dude Maker Hotline. This is the author of a new children's book that is out from Tan Books. We actually have it coming up in the store at shop.mikechurch.com. The author is Nina Gaynor, and the book is called A Garden for Mary. We were going to have Nina on earlier today, but it sounds like there has been a power outage somewhere in, I believe, Kentucky. Nina, we could have rescheduled this, but I understand that you were, what? I understand that you retreated to the comfort of your car, your automobile, or on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. Hi, Nina, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I would say I'm doing well, but it's been a chaotic morning and full of surprises. But here we are, and I'm excited to talk to you about A Garden for Mary and this beautiful children's picture book that I was blessed to be a small part of.
So you're on old Scratch's radar now. If he knocked your power out to try and stop you from doing an interview, I hope you know that.
Oh well, you know. Chalk it up to that, or, you know, it's Kentucky, so things like this happen kind of frequently, but I'm just glad I found a parking spot where I get a good signal, so this is good. This is good. The Lord's with us.
All right. Let's talk about the Garden for Mary. This is your second book, I believe, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, this is my first children's book. The other one was an adult Christian contemporary fiction novel.
All right. You are in Kentucky. And I think I saw a picture of your homestead. Looks like you got a little garden going yourself there. Tell me all about A Garden for Mary.
Okay, well, A Garden for Mary is this lyrical children's picture book. So it's a rhyming children's picture book, and it's really resurrecting the medieval practice, this traditional Catholic thing that we used to do long, long time ago of Marian gardens. And it's a gentle affirmation of devotion to Mary, and it just goes through scripture and sacred prayer. And the illustrator for this, her name is Bernadette Gutkowski. She has just these beautiful, timeless, heavenly watercolors of vibrant blooms and buzzing bees and little chipmunks. And, you know, at the end, there's this brief history of the tradition of, you know, Marian gardens and what they are and where that came from, as well as an appendix of, you know, flowers associated with Our Lady. For those people who are interested in maybe starting their own or inspired to maybe start their own garden with their families and plant some seeds of faith and some seeds of love.
Yeah, the cover of the book says a lot about it. Some people love watercolor, like me, because I used to paint watercolor. And the one thing about watercolors, you can make them so bright. If you know what you're doing with watercolor, you can make it bright. It looks like the book is filled with bright paintings. How many pages are we talking about in A Garden for Mary?
We're talking 40 pages, and it's nothing like the watercolors I've ever done. but you know, I paint with words, I guess. I'm a writer and not an artist in that sense. But it's just a beautiful book, and I can't go on and on about the illustrations enough for a picture book because, you know, it's a picture book.
is the picture you just put in the chat room? There's a beautiful picture in our chat room, folks, if you want to see it from the book, at crusadechannel.com/chat. It is of, I guess that's Our Lady holding the Christ child. That's a beautiful watercolor. Heck, I'd buy the book just to rip that page out and frame it.
Well, that's one of my favorites, but it's amazing because the book really goes, you know, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith, and for me it was, you know, I was very hesitant, very leery of devotion to the Blessed Mother, and so my children, once we converted, we kind of, you know, I had embraced Mary at this time, we went out and planted a garden for Mary, and they started asking me, well, why? Well, why are we doing this? And, you know, anybody who's a parent or been around kids very long, you know that, you know, why, you know, it's this insatiable, you know, curiosity. And, you know, for adults, I think it's the same thing. But the one reason that will satisfy us for all eternity is Jesus. And that's what the book really gets to of, you know, why do we have this devotion to Mary? Why do we do this? And it's for Jesus, you know, for him and his mother. And, you know, that page that you're speaking about, it's talking about how Jesus came as a baby, and it has Mary holding, you know, infant Jesus. And she just has this subtle, wonderful, endearing smile on her face. And then on the next page, you turn it, and, you know, she's holding, you know, Jesus after, you know, after the cross. You know, she's holding his body, and she just has the most subtle but strong and just sorrowful expression on her face. And just that page turn alone is just, it's so prayerful, it's so powerful, and it's amazing for me as a mother just to know that my kids are experiencing this, you know, moment of pause, you know, at story time. It's beautiful, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of it.
Well, I'm so thankful that you're a part of it too, because I didn't know that there were such things as Mary Gardens, and I do have a devotion to the Blessed Mother. Nina Gaynor's book is called A Garden for Mary. You can get it at shop.mikechurch.com in the Founders Trading Post store. There's so many things that I could talk to you about and ask you questions about, but let's stick with the subject of the book for a moment here, which is why you called. Garden for Mary. Now, in Carrie Gress's book, The Marian Option, one of the last chapters is Carrie goes through the artwork. First of all, there is no more painted of a figure on earth than the Blessed Mother. The artwork that exists in beautiful love and devotion to the Blessed Mother actually outnumbers the artwork to our Lord. And I don't know that that's a demonstrable fact, but I've seen it stated before. And it's hard to go anywhere where there's Catholicism and not find images of the Blessed Virgin. So Carrie has that part in her chapter. But then she has all the flowers. You know, there's so many flowers that have Marian meaning to them. And, of course, one of the most popular and famous is, and I plant these all around my house, Nina, where we grow them in little pots and we just plant them wherever we want to plant them at, are marigolds.
Yes, yes. Well, that's kind of what kicked off for me, actually, are marigold. I'm an extension master gardener, and so it's basically a volunteer group here in Kentucky where we, you know, help people get their garden started. You know, we're small, my family, we are small farmers, and this is just something my family's always done is, you know, can our own green beans and that sort of thing. But I love the beauty of flowers. I'm a beekeeper. I appreciate the pollination that they provide. But when I was doing these classes, I heard someone say, Mary's gold. And then she kept saying, and I'm like, they're called marigolds. and then it clicked for me. I was like, oh no, she's purposefully doing this, but I don't know why. And so I asked her about it, and she said, well, I have devotion to our Blessed Mother, and I just love that they're called Mary's gold. And she said, there's many, many more. She said, you should look it up. And so I kind of went down a rabbit hole, and it was a beautiful rabbit hole, so to say. And, you know, from that, I just learned that, you know, another flower that is called Mary's gold is my favorite flower, and it's the sunflower. And, you know, so, you know, I'm a writer, and so I love symbolism. And sunflowers are this great symbol for adoration. You know, they have this property, and I'm going to get geeky and nerd out on you a bit, but it's called heliotropism, and it's the directional growth of a plant, you know, in response to the sun. So if you've ever been out in the field and kind of noticed sunflowers, you know, the face of the flower is always directed towards the sun.
That's
from
right.
Dawn to dusk.
That's right.
And so, you know, I love seeing them and in this state. And then also, you know, ready for harvest. And, you know, by this time, they're heavy with the fruit of sunflower seeds, and their heads are bent, you know, from the weight of the seeds. And it just reminds me of an expecting mother, you know, ready to give birth. we're all bent, you know, by the weight of the children. But, you know, they're just this beautiful symbol of adoration, that a life focused on the sun, you know, for us. I mean, the S-O-N, Son of God, Jesus Christ, and that, how it produces a fruitful life and life abundant. And, you know, with sunflowers, they just happen, you know, I'm a boy mom here. They're tasty and it's baseball season and they're everywhere, but but I still love them. And, you know, what a beautiful thing.
My producer, Mrs. O'Connell, has found all kind of pictures of you and your work and your family's farm life and your family selling your wares. out in, I guess, at markets and at farmers markets and at fairs in Kentucky. There's a wonderful picture of Nina standing in front of a table with a bunch of wax candles that are in the shape of the Blessed Mother holding the Christ child, Saint Joseph and the Holy Family. I want one of those. And there's a little banner that looks like a quilt that you made that says about your bees. It says, be kind, be humble, be honest. You have an industry going there, Nina.
Oh, well, the bees do. we just kind of steal and rob hives. But, yeah, we have many beehives. And my boys, they were just fortunate to kind of capture their first swarm just last week. And so they're 6 and 8. And, you know, I was a nurse before I started working for the church and staying home with the boys and writing full-time. But, you know, we waited for them to get, you know, the appropriate age in case we needed to give them an EpiPen or something if they were allergic. But they're out there in the fields with us and beekeeping, and we have sheep that have just lambed, and, you know, we're big gardeners. It's just a family affair, and it's wonderful and so faithful to be, you know, living that farm life with a family.
Well, we talk a lot about that. You're going to fit right in around here, let me tell you. We do a segment. I could have you on tomorrow. We do a segment every Friday called Free Farm Friday. And we've had everyone. We've had the soap maker lady. We had the cheddar cheese and the cheese making lady. The only the one that we haven't had yet is the beekeeper lady. So
yeah,
now we have
call me the honey lady. Yeah,
the honey lady. So now we have the honey lady. These candles, get Nina's book. It's a children's book. It's called Mary's Garden. We'll talk a little bit more about the book. Well, where are you at in Kentucky? Because we have lots of listeners in Kentucky that are going to want to come and find you and are going to want those Mary and Joseph and Holy Family and Mary and Jesus wax candles that I see that you made. Where are you located?
We're in Hawesville, Kentucky, and it is absolutely tiny. And it's the western part of Kentucky. Originally, I'm from Appalachia, the eastern part of the state, but this is my husband's hometown, and we've traveled all over. He played professional baseball for 7 years, and so this is our 30th official move. We're probably on some terrorist watch list for how many times we've changed address, but we are very happy to be, you know, back and settled in Kentucky and just in his hometown.
Okay, let's talk more about. We have all kind of photographs of you in action at the farm. With the, you look perfectly at home with the bees. You are the bee lady.
Yeah.
Now, people, will you do a Free Farm Friday bee show with us?
I'd love to. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, we'll schedule something other than this. Let's go back to a garden for Mary. Tell me some more about other flowers, things that you plant in a garden for Mary, because I want to know, because I don't have a garden for Mary.
Well, there is almost an inexhaustible resource of flowers associated with Our Lady, and this really comes out of the gospel of the poor. So back in medieval times, you know, the large majority of the population was illiterate or too poor to afford a Bible. And so the church, just in her wisdom, you know, got really creative. And it's kind of like what we're doing now. They're getting really creative to spread the word of the Lord to everybody, to the masses. And what they did, you know, hymns, of course, but stained glass windows, you know, and we still see those today in our old churches with, you know, these pictures of biblical scenes or things about the saints, you know, that represent their lives. And then someone started planting, you know, gardens around the church, and they would plant things that either the flowers themselves kind of looked like they had a certain characteristic about them that they could call to mind, you know, either a virtue of Mary or of Jesus or a biblical story. And you know, often there's things that are associated with legends, but the purpose of, you know, the stained glass windows and the purpose of Marian garden and all these things is to draw your mind heavenward, right? And to think, to see this creation that God has made, that he's made possible for us, and to think of him and think of his glory. And so, you know, I always talk about how my grandmother, my late grandmother, her favorite flowers were violets. And, you know, in Kentucky, you know, I've lived on a golf course before. you know, we didn't want violets in our yard. You want that perfectly green lawn because once you get one or two, they kind of take over. But now, as a beekeeper living on the farm, you know, I see one and then I'm so excited for when they're going to, you know, turn the whole pasture purple. And they're called, in relation to the Blessed Mother, they're called Virtue Modest. And so what does a little violet do? You know, it's small, it's unassuming, especially in springtime compared to, you know, tulips and daffodils, these, you know, grander flowers. But they're Virtue Modest. What do? They kind of pass your eye off to something more, to the horizons, to something greater, because they spread, their love spreads. And so, you know, violets, Virtue Modest, just as I think of my grandmother, you know, it's the trick, so to say. You know, it draws my mind to something else. It draws my mind also to the Blessed Mother. There are many more we could go on and on, but irises, you know, there's a big, strong stalk to an iris. Those are called the Sword of Sorrow, you know, for Mary, or Mary's Sorrowful Sword.
I did not know that. So an iris is what you said, the Sword of Mary?
Yeah, or the Sword of Sorrows.
Sword of Sorrows, okay, and iris.
Yes, because they're that long, heavy stalk, right?
So, right, again, right.
Boy mom here, my kids love irises because they remind them of swords. But lavender, you know, that's, I'm just naming some things that are off the top of my head. Lavender is associated with a legend that, you know, before, you know, now we know lavender is this wonderful fragrance that, I mean, we put in everything, right? It's in our detergent and soaps and perfumes. But before, it was this wonderful fragrance. It was just a plant. And then, according to legend, Mary hung the infant baby's Jesus's clothes on it to dry. And that's why lavender is so fragrant.
I did not know that.
Well, you know, I don't. Maybe it's true.
This isn't a children's book. This is an adult. This is an adult book. I'm going to have to read it.
Well, you know, all this isn't in the book, but it calls to mind the devotion. And I think you're hitting on a great point. You know, I'm a mom, and some of my fondest memories of my entire life come from my vocation of wife and motherhood. You know, from the vocation of relationship. And some of the best moments are either when we're outside, you know, in nature, or when we're, you know, reading a story together. You know, stories become a part of who we are. And, you know, as a mother, you know, and as someone who works for the church now, I'm very well aware and have experienced firsthand how, you know, we are the primary catechist for our children. And it can sometimes be really intimidating, right? You know, I'm a convert, so like, what do I not know? I'm sure there's something. And, but this book is just something about, you know, it's a prayerful experience. You know, conversion is, for a lot of us, it doesn't just happen like boom. It's a several moments of pause, you know, accumulated through a lifetime. And I just pray that this book will just be, you know, one of those prayerful moments of pause for families, you know, for mothers, you know, reading to their kids before nap time, or grandparents, or whomever. And that's really the hope for this.
Well, I think you got that one knocked out of the park. The book is A Garden for Mary. It's a children book. We have it in the Founders Trade and Post. Go get your copy today at shop.mikechurch.com, shop.mikechurch.com. The watercolor illustrations in it are simply stunning. They're beautiful. And we're talking with the author, Nina Gaynor, who is not just an author of children's books. She's also a writer, but she's the honey lady, the beekeeper girl, on one website. And we have pictures in the chat room if you'd like to see them of Nina handling the bees. Nina, tell me a little bit about is there a story that you follow in the book? Do you and the kids set out to plant this Mary garden, and it's you explaining it to them? How does the book go? I'm just curious.
The book starts out with a mom, you know, kind of gathering her children. She's got a little boy and a little girl. And of course, when I was writing it, I was imagining two little boys, my sons. But I think how the illustrator worked this is just a beautiful way. And so the mom taking a little girl and a little boy out to plant a garden, and she says they're going to plant a garden for Mary. And there's this lyrical repetition of, you know, all creation singing, basically, you know, the chipmunk, the bees, the earthworms, little jumping frogs, you know, kind of all these animals saying, you know, kind of being repetitive. You know, it's a children's book. Repetition is really important for those We're planting a garden for Mary. We're planting a garden for Mary. You know, and lyrical, it just means it's a rhyming book. And so think of the rhymes that you remember from childhood. You know, one, two, buck my shoe, three, four, shut the door. You know, this is something I wanted children to remember, right? And so the whole book is going to rhyme through. And it gets to a point, you know, again, we can have a beautiful scene, but it's not a story unless there's a conflict, right? So there has to be a hill to climb, a dragon to slay, you know, some kind of conquest or mystery to solve. And so the little girl turns to her mom and she says, well, why? Right? And so that's what I was kind of talking about earlier, of this insatiable a curiosity for children, you know, well, why do we do this? Well, why, you know, as a mom, we're frequently just saying, well, just because, just listen, you know, just do it. But this is, you know, the why it walks through the Hail Mary prayer. And, you know, as a convert, you know, I have these strong Protestant roots where, you know, I needed to see it in scripture. I needed someone to show me and point that out. And so it takes readers through basically the scriptural basis for the Hail Mary prayer, you know, from the Annunciation to the Visitation and to the Nativity. And it ends with a Hail Mary prayer. Like, that's the last thing in the book. And when the little girl realizes, you know, we're planting a garden for Mary because, you know, of her, yes, because of her son, you know, the Lord and Savior coming to the world and saving us all. So that's why we plant gardens for Mary.
What a story. Winter was long, cold, and gray, but now the snow has melted. Icy frost has gone away. Mama says, we're planting a garden for Mary. That's the opening page. You know, I could talk to you forever. I'll have you in your car until 10 a.m. and not let you go because I'm loving this conversion story. And I think that A Garden for Mary, a book like this, the fact that you are, and by the way, May is the month of Mary. Again, coincidence? Folks, coincidence that we stumbled upon it, or my daughter number three, daughter in confirmation, Ashley calls me and says, Mike, you have to, she goes, Dad, you have to interview this lady. I said, all right, well, who is it? She didn't call me Dad. She said, you got to interview this lady. I said, who is it? She was so excited, Nina. She said, her name's Nina. She's going a million miles an hour. Her name's Nina Gaynor. She's got a book out. She says all this. I was like, okay, slow down. So this is how I found you, is that Ashley found you and then called me and said, you must interview Nina. You have to. And I said, I'll take your recommendation and I'll set up. So that's how we found you. There are a lot of people. We have many, many people that we know and love that are Protestants, and we always pray for their conversion. And Nina, yeah, you know this because you went through it. One of the biggest challenges, I have a guy that I go to traditional Latin mass with. He is 6'5", 320 pounds. This is a Louisiana, former LSU football player. He is a big boy. He was raised Southern Baptist. And the hurdle for him was Our Lady. But when he went in, he went all in. And now he's working on his entire family. I think that it is Our Lady, her charm, her love, her beauty, her attraction, the fact that she intercedes for us, that she cares for us, that when those that, as we say sometimes, haven't swum the Tiber River yet, when they haven't and converted, that when they get the first inkling of Mary's love, of our Blessed Mother's love for them, that is what you said, a rabbit hole, that's what begins the softening of the will, the softening of the heart, and then the bending of the will. And then once Mary has got you on, if she has got you by an ear, hand on your shoulder, it's over. You're going to convert. You might as well just give in.
Well, you know, it wasn't just me who converted in my family. My husband and I both, you know, as I said, we traveled a lot and we church hopped a ton, you know, to try and figure out where we belonged. And something that had happened in the church that we were in, it was ironically this week that we're speaking, it was, you know, they weren't taking a firm stance on abortion and the atrocity that is. And so it sent us out, you know, looking for something else and a place that, you know, held our firm beliefs and that was definitely wrong. And so if, again, conversions are a long process, and they don't just happen, but We thought we were anything but Catholic and wanted a church with a motherless church with the Eucharist is what I kept saying. You know, especially once the Eucharist was revealed to us, that was just the most amazing gift. But my husband and I both joined the church on All Saints Day, and my confirmation saint was Mary, and his was John Paul II, you know, the great saint, great Marian Pope. And it's really funny how God works. And since then, both of my parents have converted. My brother converted, met his wife in RCIA. So
wow!
It's just been amazing. It's been an amazing. We're now, you know, one of those big Catholic families.
Oh, my. What a story. You need to write a book about that.
Yeah.
That's a book. Do you know who Dr. Scott Hahn is?
Yes. Rome, Sweet Rome.
Yes. Home. I'm listening to you. I'm going, like, wait a minute. I've heard this. This is Rome, Sweet Home. Rome, Sweet Rome. That is but Dr. Kahn had a serious hang up because his beloved wife would not go along in her family. And they were like Episcopalian ministers, or maybe they were evangelical. But, you know, I read that book and I cried at the end. It'll bring tears to you when Dr. Kahn gets to, you know, the story where he finally decided, I'm going to do it. And I don't know if you know who G.K. Chesterton is, Nina, but that's the story of Chesterton. Chesterton is what we call a high Anglican. They're basically Catholics. They just aren't Catholics. And Chesterton waited for like 15 years for his beloved wife, Frances, to convert. And she didn't, and she wouldn't. And he went to Our Lady, and she assured him, Francis will come. And on Our Lady's assurance, G.K. Converted. He was received into the church. And sure enough, within 1 year, his beloved Francis followed. The same story, Nina, if you've ever watched the Star Wars films, for Obi-Wan Kenobi, the great actor, Sir Alec Guinness, he held off because his wife would not. She was an Anglican, and she said, if you convert, I'll leave you. And finally, Sir Alec could not do it anymore. And our Lord assured him in prayer, I believe, she'll come. And he converted. He was making a movie. He was making The Bridge on the River Kwai. He was on location in Thailand, I want to say. And he got a telegram saying that Mrs. Guinness is here. Now, he had already converted. He had left her in England. And he's like, what? Mrs. Guinness is here. She went all the way to Thailand to tell him, find us a priest. I want to be baptized and I want to convert. And she did. That's in his autobiography. So your story is, I love your story. I'd read that book.
Well, thank you. Well, I have to get it down on paper.
You should. All right. The book is, the children's book is A Garden for Mary. She is Nina Gaynor. A friend of mine wants to know if you're anywhere near Paducah, Kentucky.
About 3 hours. So they're on the lower tip. We're kind of up. We touch Indiana. So we're more northern, northwestern.
Okay. All right. I'm going to invite Nina on, and we're going to do a whole show on beekeeping and how she started her beekeeping. I'm just curious. You said your husband was a baseball player. Was he a Major League Baseball player?
We grinded through the minor leagues for 7 years with the Detroit Tigers. So he was a third baseman, gold glover. He was great, but it just wasn't the Lord's plan for him. So maybe it was for us to be Catholic. I think that was his plan.
How big is your farm now? I'm just curious.
55 acres.
That's beautiful. Kentucky is the most beautiful state. We went to a conference in January that was in Cincinnati, actually, and I stayed with a friend of mine who just bought 400 and some odd acres on the Kentucky side of the Ohio River, and I'm trying to remember the name of the little town, he's turning it into a farm just like you are. But on the way back to Louisiana here, we drove through the Bluegrass, Thoroughbred, Calumet Farms area. I could have just stopped the car, right? And it was in winter. It actually snowed that day. I could have just stopped the car and go, like, even in winter, Kentucky grass is green.
Well, it's a beautiful place to live. And, you know, I grew up in the mountains in eastern Kentucky. My parents' professions brought them to Lexington, to horse country, which is in central Kentucky.
It's and then bourbon yeah, country too.
West. Yes, yeah, exactly. So we've made our way west, and it's just all beautiful.
All right, my friend Todd McClure's farm is in Falmouth, Kentucky. So it's a very small town. She is Nina Gaynor, and the book is A Garden for Mary. It's a children's book. It's in the Trading Post, shop.mikechurch.com. Nina, God bless you. Mary keep you and your family. What an awesome, awesome story. You really need to write that down because I would love to read it. And I'm going to email you privately about about coming on for a free Farm Friday and telling us all about the bees and the beekeeping and the flowers and all that. Sound good?
That sounds good. And hey, the power just came back on. So,
oh, this is great. Well, when we do the free Farm Friday segment, we'll do it on video.
There we go. We'll try.
All right. Nina, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book. It's a wonderful piece of artwork. Anything that draws attention to our Blessed Lady like that is always good for me in my corner. We will sell a lot of copies for you, and I wish you great success. God bless you and Mary keep you.
Thank you for having me.